Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. Questions as of January 31st to publish on February 3rd. And these are questions that came into Ask Catherine as of Monday. And then subscriber input one I received today, I snuck in because it was very relevant to some of the other questions. I just published the quarterly, actually it was the annual equity overview. And if you have questions about your investment decisions, your financial plan, I strongly recommend you listen to that equity overview on the 2021 equity overviews and explore the links that we link to. There's a very big combination of links, a lot of good material. Okay, let's dive in. Cash and precious metals. Catherine, FYI, I was a bit surprised to read this article from SD Bullion that 90 nations are now already implementing fiat central bank digital currencies. Okay, when they say implement, they mean they're deciding what they do, how they do it. They say they're going to do it, but they're in various stages of trying to develop it and figure out what they do. So there's a lot of trial and error and a lot of whatever. I think, you know, the current plans is they're all planning to have it up and running and done by 2025 is what the schedule seems to be. But when they say they're implementing, they're in very early stages, and many of them are still trying to figure out what exactly they're going to do. Many blessings to your life for this. So let me just say one other thing. When it comes to the control grid, we're going to have to fight the vaccine passports and digital IDs sooner than the CBDCs now. If you look at the cryptos that they might plan to use from the private side to put together the all digital control system, those are happening. Obviously, those have been happening for the last 10 years. So the all digital transaction control grid is many different pieces. And the ones that are sort of this year are the vaccine passports or QR codes or green passports, whatever you want to call them, as well as the digital IDs. And don't forget the biometrics. We talk a lot about that in money and markets. Many blessings for this new year, and thank you for the interviews, Thomas Meyer. We have 10 more of Thomas to do in the spiritual science series, and I hope to do a lot of them this year. And our goal is in 10 to 12 sort of introductions, Thomas can give you an introduction to all of Steiner's work, and I really, really am very delighted to be doing that. How much control of banks do local governments and states have? Specifically, I'm wondering about banking at Bank of Malvern in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania isn't exactly a state with a local government promoting freedoms. If we do live in a state like Florida, South Dakota, where state and local banks are protecting state and local governments are protecting freedoms, at least for now, isn't it better to bank there? It's always better to bank in a jurisdiction that respects private property. Now, I'm very comfortable with Bank of Malvern because they have been there many generations in their community in Pennsylvania, very serious and respected members of the community, etc. At the same time, there's no doubt if you had a far superior jurisdiction, you know, it makes total sense, especially if you're there to find a great bank there. And sometimes I have seen people who have a great bank in their jurisdiction, but they want to have more money in the bank than the FDIC would permit them unless they were doing brokered deposits. So what they'll do is they'll do multiple banks in different jurisdictions. I always think it's great to have a great jurisdiction where hopefully the chances of funny business are less likely. There's no doubt the Bank of Malvern runs their operation very clean, so I feel very comfortable with them. But I agree with you, they're better jurisdictions. Hi, Catherine. With the increase in inflation, is it better to pay off debt or save the cash for later? Depends on your situation. I like being completely out of debt. I don't like anybody having a call. But at the same time, you do need cash. And inflation will generally, the debt will roll with you as long as you've got a fixed rate. If you've got a floating rate, you want to pay off that debt or get the rate fixed. Dear Catherine, best wishes. We live in Ontario in the suburbs of Toronto. I'm not sure if you heard about this. A few months ago, someone published on social media an alleged leak by a member of the Liberal Party, which is in power currently, and I recently saw it again. I attached screenshots of the message. It's very concerning plan of Canada's road to tyranny. So this was the one, we'll see. We're both retired and are saving for retirement of the house equity. Should we sell our house and rent until we make a decision to stay or leave the country? This is tricky because inflation should drive the value of your house up. At the same time, if we do start seeing significant rises in all-cause mortality from the vaccines, it could be very deflating for certain real estate markets. So part of it's depending on where you are. If you're in the suburbs, Toronto, my guess is your real estate market's going to continue to be strong unless we get a real devastating kind of deflation, which could happen, but I don't think it's likely this year. Here's the thing. There are likely going to be states in the United States which are better than Canada. At the same time, what we're struggling with is global. It's going to be everywhere. So eventually the fight's going to come where you are. So the question is, where do you want to fight from? If you're retired, you're probably going to be better fighting from someplace that's got a fair amount of sunlight. I would want to go where you have friends, where you have community, where you have connections. I think there are going to be states that will hold out longer than Canada, but it's anybody's guess. Your thoughts and advice will be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for helping people to survive financially in these turbulent times. You're better off where you have a tight community and people you love to watch your back. If you don't have that in Canada, you might as well get to someplace sunny, and which has a better track record. So at the same time, moving's a big job. And so it makes sense to progressively downsize. I think you have time if you're in the suburbs of Toronto. The real estate market should, I believe it's still hot, although I haven't looked at Toronto that recently. Dear Catherine, please bear with me. This letter is long. So this is somebody who's fighting with a mortgage problem and you need an attorney. And I don't know how to help you find the right attorney because it's very much dependent on you need somebody who's in the jurisdiction in which you're operating. And I believe it's California. California is its own little world. Anyway, I've sent it around to a couple people to know who's appropriate. I do think what I would do if I were you is I would touch base with Marie McDonald and see what her suggestions are. And you can find all her information in her interviews on mortgages with her. If I were you, I would call Marie McDonald and see what she recommends. And she knows lots of lawyers and lots of jurisdictions. Okay, enjoy your and John's weekly work. However, there's no question it's the purpose of gearing up the repo markets. The American International American banks have refused to accept any European papers collateral for overnight up to 10-day loans. Thus, the Fed had to step in and backstop the worthless European paper for these loans and keep the system from choking. The EU is screwed. I'm not convinced of that. Go take a look at the European bank stocks for 2021. They had a great time. This is what happens when a government goes to negative rates since 2014. No one will lend you money. Yes, that's a problem, but it's amazing essentially we have the G7 nations lending themselves money. They're monetizing. Hi, Catherine. I'm a Philly girl born and mostly raised. I live in Westchester now. I went to SJU. My husband is from West Philly. He went to West Catholic and U of P Law School. We've been listening to your videos for some time and recently joined Stellarity Report early in my career. I worked as a tax accountant for the estate and trust department, the Philadelphia National Bank, dissolved now. When you see the trust funds of the affluent that close up, you quickly learn what they are up to. I said to my husband in 1989, he was working at AM 100 Philadelphia law firm. If the economy continues to go this way, it is our children who will never have enough money to survive. My solution was to have 14 of them. Wow. Children, that is. I realized there were strengths in numbers. You got that right. You're a people investor too, I see. We have our own business, and because of listening to you, we would like to have one or two bank referrals we can trust. I sent you a little chat about it directly by email. I would send you some Philly pretzels. However, with the current state of things, I prefer a passport to travel to foreign countries, not to buy food or see a show. I'm with you there. Although we have a great biodynamic organic food service that brings the food to your door. So I have to confess, the nature of my situation is there's great food available. Dear Catherine, I'm a big fan of the work you do and the service you provide to all of us subscribers. However, I feel you're missing some key attributes of Bitcoin. I would like to offer you and John Titus my expertise in the Bitcoin world in order to help fellow subscribers survive these times. First, you must understand the difference between Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. There is Bitcoin, which is decentralized and was created in response to the corruption in our governments and banks. Then there are all the other cryptos in the world riding on the coattails of Bitcoin, around 5,000 different coins. including the theoretical CBDCs. They are all centralized and just another form of fiat. I heard you rail against blockchain technology for good or even. However, blockchain is just a tool like a gun, which can be used for evil or for good. Bitcoin was designed to liberate humanity, not further enslave it. I just did a long discussion with about Bitcoin on Dr. McCullough that will be published on Sunday. And there are multiple issues related to a discussion of Bitcoin. And we only sort of went into one. Is Bitcoin serving freedom or Mr. Global? That's what we talked about. And so I would recommend you might want to listen to that. You know, I have a great deal of confidence in my take on all the, you know, and I understand the differences between Bitcoin and crypto. At the same time, I've got to tell you, the number one issue before us is how we stop an all-digital financial transaction system. And arguing about the efficiencies of this part of the digital transaction system versus that part, you know, is interesting and important. But if we allow an all-digital system, we're completely toast. And the idea that Bitcoin is going to help protect you from corrupt governments is just, you've got to understand that they're going to regulate by regulating the people, not the technology. But I will say this, when I do diligence Bitcoin, my confidence in its technology to stay out of control is not as great as yours. In fact, Bitcoin is the greatest single threat to our corrupt national governments around the world. That is just not true. Financial tools and financial products. There's no financial tool or financial product that can solve a political problem, and Bitcoin can't solve our political problem. And there's no financial product or service or financial, there's no currency that can be the greatest threat to corrupt national governments, unless you're a hypermaterialist, which I'm not. I would be happy to discuss this via phone Zoom to answer all your concerns about Bitcoin. I seek no personal gain from this. A loyal and admiring subscriber. So I'm happy. Here's my suggestion. Let me roll out these interviews with Marcola. And then I think once I do that and you have a chance to listen to them, then we can sort out, you know, what are the open issues where we could learn a lot more? Because what I'm hearing from people who love and understand Bitcoin is they don't understand control. So they're frustrated with me because they think I don't understand Bitcoin. I'm frustrated with them because they don't understand control. I think we all want to be free, and we all want to be free of Mr. Global. So it's worth continuing the conversation. So I would love to get your help, but after the next couple steps. Hi, Catherine. I hope you're well. I'm writing to get your high-level thoughts on my current financial predicament. Okay, so you and your husband are renters in your early 30s. You're thinking of moving to a more rural location, and you don't want to exhaust your cash because you've got debt and you were recently laid off. Okay. So here's the thing. What I would do, and I think I've answered this question before actually, what I would do is I would look into getting a really great piece of property and sort of doing something do-it-yourself over time and get rid of that debt, but lock in the ownership of the property and start getting the skills you need to help, you know, sort of oversee or construct or work with people to construct your home. So you do a smaller house and you contribute more to it. But I would be careful not to, function without any reserves, particularly if you have that debt going into this year. So we are looking we're looking at higher mortgage rates now and probably get higher. I do think if we get continued rise in high all-cause mortality. So if you look at the mortality rate, it's clearly increasing significantly. And my guess is it's probably from the injections. If it continues to go like it's going, and like some of the doctors predict, then that's going to be very deflating. It's going to be deflationary. The monetary policy is going to be highly inflationary, but the rise in the death rate is going to be deflationary for house prices. Now, who knows how they offset each other, but higher interest rates and a rise in all-cause mortality, if it continues, could really bring those prices down. So I would be extremely careful and do everything you can to manage your finances so that you're not over the barrel when it comes to debt or absence of cash. Dear Catherine, I'm asking for help in getting the word out on the following action in concert with Cash Fridays. Here is a great idea. I have a close friend who's worked for many years as a contractor to the IRS. She strongly advises people to file paper tax returns in 2022. The IRS is not equipped to handle mass paper filings. This is her recent email to me. Anyway, so the email's there. I think this is a terrific idea. I've checked with RCPA, and Solari and Fitz are going to file paper tax returns. That's confirmed. And I think this is a fabulous idea. It's all part of taking the financial system non-digital. So great suggestion. Big gold star. Hello, Catherine. Thank you so much for all you do for us in this world. I've often used PayPal when ordering online, but since listening to your commentary on the troubles you've had with them, I wanted to know your best alternative for ordering online. I would use a bank debit card, or now it depends on the limit, because you don't want to use a bank debit card, get the number stolen, and then get your account hit for a big number. So as long as you have a reasonable cap on the amount that can be paid with a bank debit card, I'd use the bank debit card. If not, then I'd use a credit card. It is not possible to use cash or checks all the time. What would be the best alternative? So as long as you have a reasonable limit on your bank debit card, that's what I would use. What you do need to do using credit cards and bank debit cards, particularly online, is you need to regularly check. The way to prevent identity theft is to catch it right away. And we've been really good at doing that. We have a great bookkeeper and we just catch it right away. And even if it's 10 cents, we catch it, nail it, stop it. You know, because they often hit you for little amounts, just testing you. Postal Regulatory Commission is pressing the USPS on why it did not seek commission approval before launching the Postal Banking Pilot Program, which yielded only 6 customers and $35.70 in fees to the USPS. The commission says federal law requires the USPS to get approval for any market test of experimental product. This is a strange story. What is this about? That is so strange. That is so strange. As a community bank compliance officer, I think this is all too funny that USPS is getting flack from its regulator. Yes, that is absolutely funny. And as a compliance officer, I'm sure you would know all about it. Thanks for that one. It's funny. It's not funny. You just look at it and you think, how could that possibly happen? Payment processors charge small businesses roughly 3.5% per transaction, credit card fees, PayPal fees. How do we encourage small businesses to give a discount equal to their processor fee to all customers who use cash? A lot of people have been walking in and just starting the conversation, and some of them have been getting somewhere. It's hit or miss. I seem to recall that offering cash discounts was illegal quite a few years ago, but it seems like it's not the case anymore. You know, something I have been told that is the case in some places, or it may be in violation of the terms and conditions. But frankly, given what's going on, I just start talking to the local small businesses and see what you can negotiate. Is this a possibility? And what ideas can we come up to encourage our neighborhood businesses to participate? I'd say go to the local chamber and start a conversation with the local chamber. Start a conversation with the local Rotary Club. See what you can get accomplished by talking with all the businesses together. The business wins as they can develop customer loyalty without it costing them any more. The customer wins because they pay less for their purchases, and the world wins as we keep a good flow of cash injected into the system. To me, Rotary and the Chamber of Commerce is a great way to start this conversation. Hi, Catherine. I'm one of your recent new subscribers to, you know, one thing you could do. I've always been interested in this. You pay cash, you take the 3.5%, you put it in a pool, you know, sort of a central agreed place by all, and it could start working as a working capital and loan fund for everybody. Hi, Catherine. I'm one of your recent new subscribers to the Larry Report. So first of all, thank you for the informative material. Some more great compliments. Thank you. Much talk about inflation these days. My question to you is very general. Is inflation an inevitable fact of life in the way the monetary and fiscal system works? And given the printing by the central banks, the likely scenario is we have significant inflation for quite a while. And it could even go to hyperinflation if they can't control it. The likely scenario is you have to be prepared for very, very significant inflation. If we get enough of a rise in all-cause mortality, then we're going to have massive deflation happening at the same time. So you can, you know, we're going to be dealing with a very shocking kind of stagflation In other words, must we also always anticipate inflation and devaluation of currencies as a general trend over time? In some scenarios, yes, and others, no. Again, I use scenario planning, and you have to be prepared for this to go either to inflation, including significant inflation, or deflation and significant deflation. If you take a look at the scenarios we did for 2022, if you look at one of the axes, it's all the rise in all-cause mortality. And the other one is inflation. So these are both very important trends, and it can, one can take over from the other depending on how things get balanced out. So you're going to have to be prepared for both. And that's why I think it's very important when you do a strategy about where you put your time and resources, don't think of this as investment strategy. Think of this as war strategy, because you're trying to field your assets on a chessboard and make sure you're okay in all situations. Second question, is the valuation of gold and silver depending on the quantities? No, it depends on the quantities as a variable, but supply and demand. The demand is a big one, including the faith in the system. So the more rocky the system looks, the more the demand goes up. So it's not just supply, it's demand. Does supply and demand have a great impact on the value? Yes. But that supply and demand includes intervention in the markets by the central bankers and players sort of managing the price. One would assume the total quantities of gold and silver available mined and processed must be ever increasing as mining of these metals constantly takes place. You would think, and the question is, what happens to the inventory and how much of it, if any, leaves the planet? So there's big debate about whether we have a steady drain of gold, not so much silver, but gold moving off the planet. And big question, I don't know the answer. Does that mean a general devaluation of these precious metals over time? No, not necessarily. Because if you look at a period when the precious metals are expanding, but the economy's expanding more, in fact, there's not enough precious metals. So it would be the opposite. It would be a revaluation. Maybe an odd question is value in that sense, again, refers to the value of money. I'm just trying to get my head around all of this. Good luck. It's hard to do. I just did a book review on DeMar's book on ancient currencies. You might find that one. It's a hard reading, but you might find it useful. This is from a Dane concerned about what is really going on in the world, considering the recent 2 years of Corona circus we have witnessed and all been a part of. Looking at the bright side, I feel I've started on a new educational journey touching base on topics that I've barely thought of or had any interest in before. I just did an interview at the Greater Reset 3. It's up in Soleri in the news on the homepage. It's about 37 minutes long, and it's an overview if you're going to build a local currency or a good currency. What are some of the issues you got to think about? Okay, COVID-19, thank you so much for moments of sanity in this unbelievable situation. Okay, so this is from a nurse who had a conversation and is leaving Vermont. Boy, if you look at the, all the different metrics, Vermont has to be the worst state in the world, in the United States, to live in. It's just frightening. What happened to Vermont? It used to be one of the greatest places in the world. That's funny. My uncle had a country home in Vermont that I used to always go to, and I went to summer camp in Vermont. It's just, you know, our family farm was in New Hampshire. So what happened to Vermont? It's frightening. Dear Catherine, I've recently seen several videos showing how babies born to vaccinated parents are exhibiting abnormal developments. To link to a Spanish doctor talking about it. Is this stuff real? I don't know. I don't think we've seen enough information to know. And if you look at if this is happening, it could be happening for reasons of, there are many other ways, things that could cause it, unfortunately. So it's all part of the general poisoning. It can be in the spray. There are covert ways of getting these things into people's bodies. So no, I don't know that this relates to the injections. What I do know is the information we have so far about the impact on pregnant women and on sterility is absolutely frightening. So if anyone is pregnant, you should not get one of these injections. And if you do, you know, some pretty terrible things can happen. So please just be careful. And even if you're not pregnant, that, you know, there is a real question about whether these things cause sterility. So I think when it comes to, and then of course, if you look at what they're doing now with approvals, they're trying to push the vaccines to lower and lower ages. So it's frightening. I'm hoping that Skidmore will come out with his survey by the second week in February, so within the next 2 weeks. More on that, but when I saw the results of his survey of the Salaria Report subscribers, it was the first time I ever used the word genocide. I said, this is a genocide, and unfortunately, in my book, this is a genocide. Catherine, is this a true lawsuit that RFK is assisting? They're talking about, this case was lodged on December 20th by Dr. Sam White, Philip Hyland, Lois Bayless, and retired policeman Mark Sexton. Requests for further assistance have been made to RFK. So as far as I know, RFK is not involved. Dr. White is a very serious young doctor who ran into real issues with the NHS and the regulatory infrastructure in England because of the COVID op, whatever you want to call it. So he's a pretty serious guy. This lawsuit or this case is a situation where they're having citizens walk in with significant packages of documentation and evidence and asking the police to do criminal investigations. It's a process I know very little about, but I think it's exceptionally interesting. And in any jurisdictions where we can do something like this and make this go on a much wider basis, it's absolutely sort of the legal equivalent of what the truckers are doing. I think it's fantastic, especially where you have police who are sympathetic to what's happening. And I think as the deaths and adverse events rack up, this is going to become more and more feasible because it's now possible to put together very significant packages of evidence and share them broadly across many jurisdictions. Anyway, so I appreciate your posting that link because I think this is potentially a very important development. Catherine, please send this to every legislator and medical profession in the country to your entire mailing list. So I'll put this link in the chat in News Trends and Stories. Feedback. Thank you, Catherine. I love you for starting the Spiritual Science Academy on Salaria like a blue Raphael, blue wrapper around the, like a big Raphael blue wrapper around the confusion lies, discoveries, transformations, and possibilities of the time. Such a gigantic, etheric perspective of love to hold us. Oh, I'm so glad you, I just love talking with Thomas Meyer. I just find him so useful. Then there's someone here who's a targeted individual. If you don't know about targeted individuals, I would suggest it's something important to learn about. I'm going to take the names out, but I appreciate your letting me know about your situation, and you are in my prayers. The more you can network with other people who've been experiencing this kind of harassment, I always found it very, very helpful. Question. Dr. Farrell mentions the difference in Catholicism after Vatican I and taking the power out of the worship in all faiths, actually. That man is more powerful than they will allow, especially in prayer. But for those who weren't around before the church was diminished, who don't know what the comparison is, it's very hard to envision, to feel viscerally as well as intellectually. Can he write his next book to describe what was lost for those who are not materialists? He has a book, it's four books together, a series on, I forget the exact title, but it's God. If you go up and look at his website, I would describe him as having written such a book, but I think he could write a more immediate, shorter one. What did the Latin Mass prayers, et cetera, generate in taking away all that they are trying, like making Notre Dame a theme park? What is being harmed? Can he also include the physic angle, quantum entanglement through time, destruction of churches, and our link to past generations who prayed in the past? I'll see if I can get him to do something on News Trends and Stories. We can buy older Bibles and prayer books, but it will take a lifetime to learn what he can now tell us. And it's important to understand what was lost. I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I will communicate that to Joseph. Hello, Catherine. I'm a member and attempted to email through the website, but my Outlook system will not send it. I also emailed Thomas Meyer through his site. I hope this reaches you. You're a single mother, and you've been very active in the anthroposophical movement, and unfortunately, they've all gone COVID cold. So I'm new to Salaria. I'm thrilled to find you after so grateful to find your collaboration with Thomas. I learned of this after I just finished Emil Bach's book, The Apocalypse of St. John. I don't know if you've discussed it. No, as far as I know, I haven't. You're describing he breaks down revolutions And it sounds very interesting. I've ordered a copy. I don't know of it. I have no idea what your focus will be in the next year with Thomas, but would you please consider what I mentioned here? What we've asked him to do is to do a series of 10 to 12 lectures that just outline all of Steiner's work so that it's a general introduction to Steiner. And so we're going to be, if you go look at the list, you'll see the titles of all the lectures, and we're hoping to record most or all of those this year. Thank you again for everything you do, Catherine, and you astound me with your knowledge and depth, and I'm glad to have found you. There's so much I don't know. It's all unanswered questions. Every news, trends, and stories, the unanswered questions get longer. Please let me know if you received this. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for a great suggestion. Anyway, I'll take a look at the book. Replacing COVID with war. Yes, it looks like we're trying to replace COVID with war. But I think England has biometrics and an ID system up their sleeve. Somebody sent a link. Dear Catherine, I have a question about this topic, which I saw in the subscriber section. I just bought a new undeveloped property in Tennessee, Hickory Valley, actually. Really? I've been looking into getting a septic system, but an inkling thought in the back of my head, even before I was made aware of this crappy surveillance project, is getting a composting toilet. Seems like an additional benefit could now be that I have more control over my own stuff. Is this reasonable? If I was going to get a composting toilet, I'd still get a septic system in Hickory Valley. I'd want to have a backup. And if you have a good septic system, you can go a long time without getting it drained. So, you know, if you want to get a comp, I know nothing about composting toilets, but I would definitely, I would get a septic system and a composting toilet if I was going to get a composting toilet. Dear Catherine, I've been hoarding my Ask Catherine questions. In your fabulous Toronto gathering, Daniel Asselin promised you would get you an English translation of something he said was in Spanish for him. Did he? I don't remember. I don't think so. I remember he said he would, but I even forget what it was he was going to send me. Inslaw, the playbook seems very similar to your unfortunate experience with Hamilton. Were you aware of Inslaw back then? No, but I found them later. So I remember calling Bill Hamilton. He says, "Have you read Black Money by Michael Thomas?" I said, "No." He said, "Read it and call me back," and hung up on me. And we've sort of been, I read Black Money, which is sort of a fictional introduction to promise software, and it's great background for understanding the Inslaw story. Anyway, we've kind of been in cahoots ever since, so good guy. Dear Catherine, I enjoy your Solaria report and your interviews, the Opportunity Zone riot maps, and more. Here's a link back to you. I finally found the old Alfred Hitchcock episode when the inmates took over the asylum. It's here. Wow. That was creepy to watch. So the link is in the show notes. Hitchcock, the master of suspense, creepy music, suspense builds. Who is who? Who will she believe? Will she figure it out and escape? Is it then or now? Is this what's wrong in Washington, D.C. and Davos? Do the inmates remind us of imposter President Biden or Pelosi? Maybe I've become warped, but I think it's hilarious and timely. Thank you for your work to help us navigate. Enjoy the chuckle. And then you see, P.S. I love the retro fashions and pearls. Actually, I never wear pearls. I mean, I used to, but not now. Hi, Catherine. Maybe it's pearl earrings. That's what you're thinking. Okay. Yeah, I like pearl earrings. Hi, Catherine. Hope you're having a great day. My name is, and I'm one of your subscribers. I'm planning on buying a chicken farm to raise chickens for local chicken factory, and also to build my greenhouse and raise cows and goats. One of my main concerns is that, is this a good idea for the next 10 years? To invest in the U.S., or is it better long-term to invest in those South American countries like Panama and Costa Rica? Some people are going to Costa Rica. I can't say which is going to be better. I would rather be in a place where I know a lot of people, in a jurisdiction in the United States where, you know, I really know the turf, I know a lot of people, and, you know, we sort of have a chance. So I think there are a few states in the United States that will definitely be better than being a stranger in a country. But if I wouldn't look at Panama, I'd look at Costa Rica. Just make sure you're not out in the boonies. I had one friend who went to Costa Rica, went far out into the jungle and had a home invasion and almost died. I heard about Dr. Carrie Medej is building a community in Georgia and I would like to join, but I don't have a way to contact her. I don't know. I'm not in direct contract with her either. You know, I would tend to, If your contacts and relationships are in the U.S., I would tend to stick with the U.S., but I would want to cluster with some really great folks. Hi, Catherine, new subscriber here. I'm writing to you from Texas, married 30 years with 5 children. Our life mission is to walk with younger generations, helping them understand their identity and pull out the destiny God has placed in each one. While you're immobilized, the general population, we mobilize the ones God sets before us. That's the thing to do. With that context, we have a young man gifted with a political calling in the U.S. currently traveling in the Netherlands. Would it be absolutely crazy for him to connect with you to soak up wisdom and inspiration while having his eyes opened? His character is above reproach, and he has a proven track record of doing hard things. Yeah, just send me his information at customer service and just send it to Ask Catherine. Just send an introduction. For screening purposes, you can reference Facebook, Corey Heck with the Circuit Riders Ministry. Yeah, so just send an introduction on Ask Catherine or on customer service or both. Hi, Catherine. I hope this follow-up message finds you well. So this is somebody who's being targeted and they have a long description and I'll leave it in the show notes. And again, you're in our prayers. And I hope you will network with the other targeted individual groups because I just find coordinating is very, very helpful. Hi, Catherine. No question at the moment, but I ran across this reference and immediately thought of you and your interest in peg laws. This is from a book about Geneva and how when the doctors started to heal the plague, the hospital started to lose money and they, you know, so they started to make people sick again. And then it was discovered and the doctors got executed. Anyway, it's a reminder, you shouldn't make money by killing people. Hi, Catherine, but it's you know, it's a very interesting story. And it reminds you that this is not the first time in history this has happened. Hi, Catherine. I just saw this as a response to Boris Johnson's possible reading, a reason for lifting the mandates. It sounds like he already feels he has control over citizens. Any thoughts? I think there's a real danger that what they're doing with biometrics and the digital ID, they feel like they're getting closer. But I do think there's a real fear of what we're learning about the injections, particularly the pathology reports, has to be scaring the insurance industry. So I think it's more complicated. Hi, Catherine, just joined the Slayer Report and like to know if you could address becoming legal autonomous. I don't know the process you're describing, the sovereign diplomat status. What I do know is every time I've tried to look at one of these systems to sort of opt out of the system, what I discover is a process and a quasi-legal system that I don't think the leadership is going to respect. So I've never tried to opt out because I'm trying, in fact, to opt in. I want to be right in the mix with everybody else. And because I really think freedom is an all or nothing equation at this point. So I've never tried to opt out. And I've always found the guys in the top don't respect the law. So I want to be with the biggest group of people fighting freedom. Could it work? I just don't know enough. If you want to send me more information about it, I'm happy to take a look. Catherine, you always talk about slavery not succeeding because collateral could not be perfected. Do you think that our birth certificates allow governments to use this as collateral? Yes, probably. And you reference Irvin Schiff, but if you think we've got a slavery system now, wait till you see what they have in store. So I'm not saying that we're perfectly free now, but I just don't think if you've lived in the G7 nations, you have any idea what's coming. This is going to be a very ugly slavery. Not to be dark, but you want to defeat this control grid. There's no doubt about it. This is not a question, but rather testimony to the fabulous pushback happening in Canada with support from some U.S. truckers. At long last, an undivided people come together to protest, and what was more powerful than truckers, who are like the blood through our veins, normally bringing sustenance and supplies from one part of the country to the other, now traveling on behalf of everyone to protest the Trudeau draconian mandates, Go Canada. Here is a link to a compilation of this pushback. As of this moment, $6.7 million raised to help them. Australia joining in. There are trucker groups all over the world, country after country after country. So, and I will say this, truckers are about my most favorite people after janitors and cleaning ladies. One of the smartest janitors, cleaning ladies, truckers are are some of the smartest people in our society. You know, they travel, they see things, they hear things. It's amazing what they know. Hi, Catherine. Though I've been following your insight for about a year, I'm a fairly new subscriber and have found it immensely helpful with putting together some missing puzzle pieces that have not made sense to me about what's going on in the world. I'm also living in Tennessee in Franklin. So I appreciate your story and your work over the years while acknowledging that I have much to glean and learn. Then you ask me what I think of the LaRouche organization, which is associated with the Schiller. In my experience, the LaRouche organization does very good research, and I've enjoyed a lot of their research projects. I've learned a lot from them. I've never really, I went to visit them once long ago, but I've never been close. I'm a member of the Schiller Institute because I just like reading their stuff and knowing what they're up to and supporting them. But I generally, as a group of people, I found them to be very sort of angry, political. And in terms of style, it just, I remember one of, they have a really good writer, wrote a book about Bush and was all angry about Bush and called me and said, we have to get Cheney. And, but, you know, and it's all very worked up. And what I found is, you know, what we're part of is a long distance run. And I just am not interested in participating in drama. That's my style. And anyway, so the other thing is their members used to complain to me about how aggressive their fundraising was because they had a big overhead. And I think when you have a big overhead, it's expensive and you got to be aggressive in the fundraising. But so my feeling was I always had a cordial kind of relationship with them. And I thought they did really good research and I appreciated their research. So I learned a lot from them. And off and on, I continue to post their stuff and learn from them. I haven't looked at their proposed solutions recently. A lot of what they did was sort of recommended big infrastructure stuff. And my model was much more equity and private market driven, but I'm sure at any time I could probably get in a room with them and agree on a lot of stuff. I think we both agree on the importance of maintaining a really high culture. I consider them legitimate and true freedom fighters. I was listening to and reading the transcript of Ask Catherine session of December 16th, and I have a question. A reader had sent a letter that I thought was disinformation, and in the recording, Catherine said she wrote a lengthy reply. Are you able to share that reply? I have no idea where it is. I was just talking about why I thought it was not legitimate, or probably not legitimate, and I'm sorry, but I don't have it anymore. Hi, Catherine. You have to understand, I get about 1,000 emails a day. Hi, Catherine. We hope this email finds you doing well and having a beautiful winter season. We have recently been having issues with our email servers. Okay, so question about email, and you're looking for where you could set up your own domain. And I reminded you that in the first quarter 2021 wrap-up called Take Action 2021, we had an article that Corey Lynn did for us called Loosen Technology's Grip. And it had a recommendation. Let me read it. If you're looking for a full service provider that can provide website registration, hosting, and email for your domain, we recommend Infomaniac. And the link is there. But you can always find our sort of technology recommendations at Loosen Technology's Grip on Your Mind or at the FAQs. Just go to your account and check the FAQs, and we have a list of sort of recommendations. Here's an interesting article about a 40-person mob fighting over a steak shortage at Golden Corral in Pennsylvania. Boy, is that scary. That reminds me of the Chuck E. Cheese brawls all over the country and some of the shopping mall brawls. Wow. If they're fighting over a steak at a Golden Corral, imagine what food shortages are going to do. It's kind of scary. So remember, you know, a lot of this, I believe, is driven by the entrainment on the smartphones. If you haven't watched The Kingsman or The Cell with John Cusack, those are two movies. I don't recommend them for entertainment value, but in terms of thinking about how you're going to deal with technology that can quickly cause people to turn into a mob fighting, you need to know about this technology and what it can do. So if you haven't watched The Kingsman or The Cell with John Cusack, you need to understand the risks here. This is real. It happens. If a brawl breaks out where you are, turn off your smartphone, put it in a Faraday bag, and get out of there as fast as possible. Don't try and help. It's just going to make it worse. Hello, Catherine. After watching your part one interview with Dr. Farrell the other night, I saw that you included the credits for the intro and outro music by Randolph Hokanson, I proceeded to locate his recording of the Bach Sinfonia in C major and finally found it on the museopen.org site. During my search, I came across this short YouTube video about his 100th birthday party and thought you might find it as delightful and charming as I did. Yes, very. I also found his version of the C major is 1 minute and 16 seconds long, while Glenn Gould's version comes in at 45 seconds. Wow, what a difference. I think I prefer Hokanson's, no doubt. Wow, thank you. You sent the best links, I must say. Comment, remember Khrushchev's prediction, a military marker. Let this sink in for just a minute. This is pretty interesting. When did they post that? It's tiny on the print. Remember Khrushchev prediction? Yep. Pretty scary. And a link on the Space Shot 76. January 20th, legal marker, next phase. Okay, this explains the pandemic very well. Communist blueprint from when we were kids. Nikita Khrushchev warned Kennedy when we were kids. I thought this would be good for us to have their playbook. One of the things that Kennedy did that really upset the deep state was he created back channels to Khrushchev, and they were getting a lot done, including stopping the Cuban Missile Crisis and stopping war from breaking out. Comment, fewer people than expected died last week, the first time in 6 months this has happened. According to National Statistics Agency, CBS, this is from Dutch News, some 3,250 people died in the second week of the year, around 100 fewer than the statisticians had previewed. The drop is probably due to the lockdown, the booster campaign, and the fact that the Omicron variant of coronavirus seems to be less lethal, the CBS said. Ha! I'll believe that when I see it. Here's the MEP of Croatia giving Macron a verbal whipping. That was quite a verbal whipping. The link on transhumanism and then a few other links. A great post from Richard Werner. Yeah, Richard is really excellent. He and John Titus, I think, are the two best. Hello, Catherine. I thought you'd be interested in this Wall Street Journal article by Dr. Marty Makary of Johns Hopkins. He shows the high price we paid as a nation for ignoring the data on natural immunity, cost of lives, and livelihoods equally. We're watching COVID restrictions drop all around the world in a significant way. The problem is the control grid keeps on coming, and so don't be fooled. Let's see, a link on the dangers of consumer plastics. Very good. Catherine, we better get busy. Soon food will be the only thing that matters. Researcher David, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Dubney, interviewed on SGT Report, says it's a grand solar minimum and there won't be enough food. So I just don't know if that's the case. Ben Davidson, a suspicious observer, would indicate that it is. And of course, when you get a solar minimum, you get significant drops in economic activity and the harvest as well. So I would say there's about 20 different reasons why there could be threats to the food supply. If you go back and look at our wrap-up we did on the global harvest, that's what I said. What is coming? We've been in a period of food stability. We're coming into a period of food instability. And one of the most important things about the jurisdiction is you're in, are they food self-sufficient or not? Because if they're not, they've got a serious problem. And that includes China. China has a serious problem. Then something, our heroes are uniting all over the world. Interview with the Spanish lot in the Jerusalem Report, which is a show I really like. Then somebody recommended All Honorable Men, the story of the men on both sides of the Atlantic. This looks really interesting. I'm going to get a copy of that. Okay, well, thank you very much for the links and thank you very much for the questions. Again, get your questions in. We'll be doing Ask Catherine next week. And as always, I just appreciate you. So make sure if you have questions about money or investment that you check out the most recent equity overview as well as the links connected to it and lots of good information and links in all of the ones equity overviews we did in 2021. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. 2022 is going to be a great year to start one. Have a great night, good night, and good luck.